translation. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the wind, with the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Wherever he went, enemies fell, their legs, arms and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. Please repeat. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy.
Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy.
Worked with the speed of the mind and the wind. Slicing his enemies with his chopper. Parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell. Their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed. Their chariot drivers killed. And their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, when the army of the enemy was full of fighting soldiers, elephants and horses, Lord Parashuram proceeded into their midst at the speed of mind to kill them. When somewhat tired, he slowed down to the speed of wind and continued to kill the enemies vigorously. The speed of mind is greater than the speed of the wind. Omagana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramilatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born the darkest of ignorance, offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who forced open my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vranta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane. Ever say Shasunyavadi Paschachade Shatarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Svedvaita Garadha Shiva Sadi Gora Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. So this is the story of Lord Parashuram. And this is the first part of the of his activities here. The history is that he was the son of Jamadagni, and Jamadagni had a Kamadhenu, a wish-fulfilling or a wish-fulfilling cow, a Sarabi cow, which he used to supply all his needs for sacrifices. So, the military strength of the Kshatriyas at that time had become polluted with ignorance and passion. And one particular king, Kartavirya Arjuna, he came and he stole this Sarabi cow, this Kamadhenu. And Lord Parashuram, basically he's a Shaktivesha avatar, incarnation of Krishna. At that point he lost it and he went after this guy, Kartavirya Arjuna. And he had a huge army. It's described earlier in the chapter, which you've done in the last few days. And so he set about them with an axe, and he killed all the army, and he killed the king as well. So this is one of the activities of the Lord. When he comes and he kills demons. He delivers the pious. He annihilates these demons, these miscreants, and re-establishes the principles of religion. So this is the prelude to Lord Parashuram's later escapades, where he killed the whole Kshatriya race 21 times. So this is the way of dealing with demons in other ages. But in the age of Kali, if we wanted to kill the demons, we'd have to kill everyone. So this is the age of Kali. And so Lord Chaitanya, he came and he gave us this system where we kill the demoniac mentality. So that is the business. The business of the devotee is the business of the Lord. And the business of the Lord is to deliver the fallen souls in Kali Yuga. And so this is our business. And so it's recommended there are three ways to perform this business of the Lord. It is through prasadam distribution, through harinam, and through the brihat madanga of book distribution. So this is the business of the Lord in Kali Yuga. And so this is what we should be aspiring for. We're very fortunate that we have come across this Hare Krishna movement. Many millions of people in this material world have not come across it yet. And their only hope is that we give them this mercy. It's the only hope for the fallen people of this world. That somehow we have been fortunate enough to be entrusted with this great gift of Krishna consciousness. And many great souls have given their lives to give Krishna to others. It is the characteristic of a great saintly person that they go through great suffering sometimes and great austerity to give Krishna to others. We see Srila Prabhupada, we see Lord Jesus Christ, we see so many saintly persons. They gave their lives. So this is actually the goal of Krishna consciousness, is to give one's life to Krishna, to gradually come to that point where we're engaged 100% of our time in giving Krishna to others. So actually that is the business of the devotee in Kali Yuga. The topmost devotees in the spiritual world, the Manjaris, they're completely selfless. They're selflessly making arrangements for the other gopis to be with Krishna, bringing others to Krishna. And that mood of the Manjaris is extended into this material world as the Sankirtan movement. This movement of selflessly bringing others to Krishna. And the quickest way to get some gopi bhava, we hear sometimes people want to hit, well, they want some gopi bhava, they want to read some special, get some special nectar, read something, hear something. But that gopi bhava is very easily obtained by standing on the street with a book bag and simply giving out Krishna to others, of bringing others to Krishna. So many great souls in our movement, they're engaged in this activity of bringing others to Krishna in one way or another, whether it's prasadam, whether it's books, whether it's harinam, whether it's preaching programs. And today we remember one great soul who did just that. He gave his life to Srila Prabhupada, and his name was Jayananda. So Jayananda, I've got a few notes, so I can't remember much. So Jayananda Prabhu, he joined ISKCON in 1967 in San Francisco. Previous to that, he got a degree in engineering in Ohio State University. He then got a degree in teaching in San Francisco. And he was disillusioned with the world. So he just couldn't be bothered with anything much. He got a job as a taxi driver, and he was maintaining himself by driving a taxi. And at that time, he was disillusioned. And he got a leaflet. And the leaflet said, come to the storefront at Hyatt Avenue and hear a spiritual leader speak. And this is Srila Prabhupada. So he went and he heard Srila Prabhupada giving class. And he immediately decided to join. He said, this is a person who I can trust. He joined ISKCON at that time. He was 28 years old. He was the oldest person in the movement apart from Prabhupada. Most of the devotees were in their early 20s or late teens. And being 28, much more mature, somehow he ended up being the temple president in San Francisco. So there weren't that many devotees then. Probably in San Francisco there may have been maybe 10 or 12 devotees. And it was a lot different in those days for trying to preach. They had no books. They had no BTGs in 1967. They had no mobile phones, no internet, no none of these modern communication systems we have. And so they were preaching, they were selling incense, they were doing different things. Some of them had jobs. Jayananda Prabhu more or less supported the whole temple by driving a taxi. And, he was driving a taxi apparently 15 hours a day sometimes to support the temple. So that time he gave his life savings to Prabhupada, which was $5,000. And Srila Prabhupada used that $5,000 to print the Nectar of Devotion. And in the front of the introduction of Nectar of Devotion, or the preface, you'll find that Srila Prabhupada acknowledges Jayananda for giving the donation to print the book. So Jayananda, he exhibited all the qualities of a great soul right from day one. He was very humble. He never criticized anyone. Apparently, if he heard someone criticizing another devotee, he would walk away very quickly. He had this service attitude, where he would just do the needful. Something which we see with devotees these days, that the Krishna or the Guru, they're asking, we need to do this, we've got to do this. So doing the needful is doing just whatever the Guru requires. So that is service attitude, is doing what needs to be done. Not that, oh, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I only like this service, or I only like that service. It's whatever is required. So he was an example of that. His humility was such that, I mean, he was a temple president, but he used to empty the bins. He would clean the temple, empty the bins. Another example of his humility, later in the early 70s, the devotees had hired a jumbo jet to take all the American devotees to India for the first time. And they had a coach from San Francisco to go to the airport. And Jayananda, although he was the temple president and probably the most senior devotee around at the time, he was loading all the devotees' bags into the coach. He was helping them like that. He was very merciful. He was expert in engaging everyone in devotional service. He made Keshava Bharati Maharaj a devotee. There's this one story Keshava Bharati told me, that he'd driven to the San Francisco temple because he wanted to see what the devotees were about. And he got there, and his van, he was there with his girlfriend, I think, and his van had broken. It just made it to the temple. The exhaust was falling off. So Jayananda came out. Immediately he got under the van and he was helping to fix the exhaust. And Keshava Bharati was so impressed, and he later found out, oh, this person is the temple president. He was so impressed by this humility and attitude that he became a devotee straight away. Jayananda actually shaved him up, apparently. Another thing, even though he was working 15 hours a day sometimes driving a taxi, and also he would be doing service around the temple, cleaning, taking the bins out, he would always chant his rounds. Devotees said sometimes it would be midnight and they'd hear him walking around, chanting, finishing his rounds. So he took that very seriously, that vow of 16 rounds. He would engage everyone in service. One thing he got interested in and took a big interest in was Rathayatra. So the first Rath Yatra in San Francisco in 1967, they had on a flatbed truck. But the next year, Jayananda and I can't remember the other devotee's name, they built a chariot. They built a chariot, and Jayananda took responsibility for organizing the Rath Yatras in San Francisco after that. He would raise the funds. He would collect all the boga for the feast. He would get it donated. He'd cook it. He'd organize the whole festival. And when they're building the chariots, they'd be outside in some parking area somewhere by the street, and he would just grab passers-by and say, "Oh, can you give me a hand? Can you just hold this nail, or can you just lift this piece of wood so I can?" So that way, their devotional service was started. So he was very, astute in engaging people in some little way to engage them in Krishna's service, as their devotional service would be started. Actually, just if you're wearing a dhoti on the street or sari, and someone turns their head to look at you, they've looked at a Vaishnava, so their devotional service has started. So it's very, really important that we see how can we engage people. What little thing can we do, even a small thing, which will help someone begin their devotional service. When he would go and beg boga, he would go to the San Francisco fruit and veg market. There was one guy there, as he used to get a lot of bananas. This is what they used to do for the Rath Yatra. They used to distribute thousands of bananas. And there was a guy there called Banana Joe. He was the guy in charge of all the bananas, you know, some syndicate or whatever. And he could never learn how to say Jayananda, so he used to call him Johnny Ananda. There's another story there. Another time, he didn't want to waste any of Krishna's Lakshmi, so he would get working clothes for working on the chariots. He'd get them from the Salvation Army, just like many of us now today. We go to charity shops to get clothes. But he had one pair of trousers, and they were getting really torn and ripped. And the devotee said, "You should just go and buy a pair of trousers. You know, just go and get a decent pair of trousers." So they finally persuaded him to go to the shop. So he went to the shop and he tried his trousers on, and he just couldn't bring himself to give away Prabhupada's Lakshmi. So he walked out of the shop. So he got caught, and he went to court for stealing these trousers. So apparently, Jayananda was such a saintly person, his presence was so spiritual and saintly, that it would affect people. So the story is that the judge who sentenced him to the fine, there was a fine, he got fined. The judge was in tears when he was sentencing him to this fine. And the policeman who arrested him, he paid the fine. So this is the effect of the Vaishnava, the pure Vaishnava. He affects the heart of the living entity. And Jayananda was a perfect example of this. Another time, Srila Prabhupada had come to San Francisco, and Jayananda had come into the back of the Bhagavatam class, and he'd fallen asleep. And a devotee next to him had elbowed him like this to wake him up as Prabhupada was speaking. And Prabhupada yelled across at that devotee, and he said, "Don't you interfere with him, you let him sleep." He said, "He has done more work than all of you put together." So, another story. Okay. So, he carried on doing this service as temple president in San Francisco through part of the 70s, and he organized the Rath Yatras in San Francisco. And then it came to around 75, 76 time, and they discovered that he'd got leukemia, which is the white blood cells die. And so your body gets very sick and eventually you die. I think sometimes they can cure it these days, but so he discovered he got that, and then so he was getting a bit weaker. But in any case, the devotees in New York, they got permission to do the first RA Theatre in New York in 1976, and this was on Fifth Avenue, and this was a huge kind of conquest to get Fifth Avenue in New York for RA Theatre. So he went to New York to build the chariots there. A devotee, Maheshvara, worked with him, who built the 1982 chariot here in London. And Maheshvara, he told me this story that Jayananda was building these chariots and he was helping them. They had a big parking lot, as they call it in America, a parking space, somewhere in New York City. And they built the three chariots there. And Jayananda, he was in a lot of pain from this leukemia. At that time, he was getting seizures and so on. But the devotees, they knew how much pain he was in, and he requested that he steered Subhadra's chariot in the festival, because Prabhupada would ride on that chariot. And so although he was in a lot of pain, he was the steerman for Lady Subhadra's chariot, and he danced and had his arms in the air all the way along the festival. He was tolerating that pain. So then, after that, he went to try and get some sort of treatment, some cancer treatment and clinic and so on. And he realized, well, it's just not going to work. He said, I might as well just prepare myself for death. And so, while he could still function a little bit, he went on traveling Sankirtan with the Radha Damodar party and did some book distribution. But then he got too sick for that. And they gave him an apartment at the Los Angeles Temple. And so at that time he was not going out much. And devotees said that he'd given up taking any painkillers because he wanted to tolerate the pain at the time of death. And so he was getting these seizures and rolling around and screaming on the floor, tolerating, so that he could chant at the time of death. And devotees said that gradually he learnt to tolerate the pain, so he would still get these seizures, but his body would not react. He would just shake. The body would shake, and he would be able to chant a little. So at that time, he wasn't going out, but then suddenly he wanted to go to Venice Beach. I've forgotten the name of the. There's Venice Boulevard goes to Venice Beach, and then there's a promenade. I've forgotten the name of it. Where they have the RA Theatre there. So he wanted the devotees to take him there. So they put him in a wheelchair and they took him down to Venice Beach along the promenade, and he started having these visions of a RA Theatre, because they hadn't had RA Theatre in Los Angeles before. Jai Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sidaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Kornitai ki jai. So he was having these visions of a RA Theatre on Venice Beach along the promenade, and he started getting really excited. And they took him back to the apartment, and he phoned up his parents, and he asked them, I need some Lakshmi money. I've got to go to the clinic. And I think he got $30,000 from his parents, and he used it to build the carts with. He designed the chariots for Los Angeles, these three chariots. And the devotees were building them, but he was too ill to go to the site, so he just stayed in his room. And then gradually he got more and more sick, and it came to around the time of Snani, I think it was before RA Theatre. It was the time of Lord Nrisimhadev. It was the 1st of May 1977. So it's actually falling on the same day this year, the day before Lord Nrisimhadev. The devotees had gone up to his room, and they were taking care of him. And they had a tape player with Śrīla Prabhupāda's Happening album playing, and he would listen to this tape over and over again. He was very sick at that time, and So on that particular day, his breathing had got really bad and he could hardly breathe. And they thought the end is coming, that sooner or later he will leave his body. And so devotees were there all the time, chanting and helping him to hear this Prabhupada. He put his ear on the tape player. That's what they had then. And so it was just before Mangalati, on the 1st of May, that the devotees, the pujaris, they decided that that particular day they would take the garlands of Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, they would take those garlands over before Mangalati to Jayananda. It was just totally unplanned. They just that day they spontaneously thought that we'll take these garlands. So devotees, they said that at the time the garlands appeared, they opened the door, there was a knock on the door, they opened the door. When those garlands appeared, the garlands of Lord Jagannath appeared, at that time Jayananda left. And he left with his ear on the tape, listening to Prabhupada's Happening album. So, Jayananda Prabhu ki jai. So then later, they didn't know whether he'd actually left his body or what they called an ambulance, and the ambulance, they confirmed, yes, that Jayananda has left. And so they wrote to Prabhupada, told Prabhupada what had happened. And Prabhupada wrote a letter of condolence, which was printed in a 1977 Back to Godhead magazine, this magazine in fact. There's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda. I don't know if we have time to read this kind of thing or not. There's also an interview in here where BTG interviewed Jayananda in 1976 when he was beginning to get sick. But in that letter, Prabhupada thanks Jayananda for his service, and he says that because of your service, that you may go to the heavenly planets. You went through so much suffering for Krishna that you may go to the heavenly planets and enjoy life as a devotee in the heavenly planets for 10,000 years, and then go back to Godhead. Or you may be born in a family of devotees to continue a devotional service. And he thanks Prabhupada like that. He thanks, Jayananda like that. But later, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he explained to Prabhupada the exact circumstances of Jayananda's disappearance, about how he refused painkillers, he learned to tolerate the pain, and then the exact way in which he departed, where he was chanting and hearing like that. And Prabhupada said, there is no doubt he has gone directly back home, back to Godhead. And he said that he is the first Vaishnava saint in ISKCON, showing the way how all of our devotees can go back to Godhead in this one lifetime. He specified that we can go back in one lifetime. Of course, we may choose not to, but via our activities, but that opportunity is there for every devotee to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So, we've got some more time here. Generally, I don't know whether it's been happening recently, but generally you chant Jayanilo Premadana when a great Vaishnava departs on his disappearance day. I don't know if you want to do that. It can be done if you want. Okay. Have some song sheets here. Which I happen to have. Just happen to have them. Radanga, please. Come on. Jayanila Premadana Karuna Vacha. Hena Prabhukota Gera Rachaya Thakur. Kahamora Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanatan Mora Swarup Rupa Kaha Dasa Raghunata Patita Pava Kaha Mura Vata Yuga Kaha Kaviraj Eka Kalikota Gera Goranata Raj Pashane Kotipo Mata Anale Pashevo Goranga Gunera Nire Kota Gele Pavo Se Sabha Sangira Sange Jeko Elo Vilas Se Sangana Paya Kande Naratamada Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Koruna Pracho Heno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thakur Jaya Jaya Nanda 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 He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where are my Sarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the saviour of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? Where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Garanga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Garanga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Garanga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Srila Jayananda Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.